Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life? Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry?
Hi, welcome to Boys Do Cry Mental Health Conversations, where we have honest conversations about mental health.
Each week we talk about how we're feeling, how we're truly feeling, and try and make sense of what goes on in our minds.
No, we are not mental health professionals, and if you are struggling, please reach out for help.
The stories you hear should not be a substitute for professional help. They're here to supplement your journey.
My name is Ram Reyes.
And I'm Paulina Rodriguez Reese. Thanks for joining us.
Hey,
hello.
What's up? So round two of this. We shouldn't say that. No, this is the first time we're doing this podcast. Hi, welcome to Boys Who Cry, another episode. My name is Ram Reyes.
And I'm Paulina Rodriguez.
And today we have a guest. His name is Jeremy. He's a fellow podcaster, an athlete, speaks three languages, just an all-around great guy.
A very patient guy.
And he's graced us with his presence. Welcome to the podcast, Jeremy.
Awesome, man. Thanks again for having me. Round two.
Round two.
Well, and he's a trooper because it's like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. You're in Denmark. So this is our first international episode.
Yeah, we're global.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. So how are we all feeling, I guess? Round two.
I hope. But yeah, Jeremy, you could go first.
Well, as we talked about off the podcast a little bit, I honestly just feel amazing right now. I did a polar plunge yesterday, an ice plunge in the waters. They were frozen over when I first got here, including 2 days ago, but I follow a guy named Wim Hof. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I got to go out and I got to jump in. Like, it's something I have to do. And I was going through some negativity when I was last week a little bit. And I was like, I need to shake things up. And I definitely do that. I go on either a fear journey where I get scared or something where I'm like a little hesitant, and definitely jumping in water that could like potentially harm you is something that'll make you hesitant, especially when you have a 15-minute bike ride and 27-degree wind chill afterwards. So I was a little scared, but I was like, you know what? Like, this is why I came here. Like, I came here to push myself. I came here to have memories. And yes, being a professional athlete is great. Yes, doing the Always Loading podcast gives me so much fulfillment, but I can only bring value to people if I put myself out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, like, being around people that are a little pessimistic or a little negative, because maybe they've been here for a little bit longer and they're kind of worn down by the situation, like, it affects you because you're not as boisterous, you're not as loving, you're not as loud. And I realized that that's what I was doing. I was like, okay, then I'm going to double down and I'm going to go be crazy for a day. And I just felt so alive. Like, it was so cold. and waves move. So they hit you in the chest.
Yeah. I like how some people, when they want to be adventurous, they'll like take a dance class or do yoga, but you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump into the ocean when it's freezing cold.
I'm down with that. I'm with Jeremy. I want to do that because it reminded me of a story, because I did follow Wim Hof. Like, I watched a bunch of videos and I actually tried making like my own ice bath in my bathtub, but there wasn't enough ice. So it was just like a really cold bath. Like, it wasn't really that cold. So I was like, well, this was a very, like, it was anticlimactic. I was like, well, I'm ready for this really cold bath. And I sat in and like, this wasn't that cold. So
what are the benefits?
You just had a miserable rant.
Yeah, it was just bad. But
miserable time.
I mean, honestly, I take cold showers. I think I've like mentioned this in the podcast. I told this in the masculinity episode, where I had this, like, at one point I had this morning routine where I would, as soon as I wake up, I would go into the shower, just the coldest setting, and I would just jump in there while Kanye West's I Am a God played in the background. So I'd be like, Kanye would be screaming, and I'd be in the shower screaming as well. I'm like, but it wakes me up. That's like And I only take cold showers from now on. Like, I only take cold showers because that's the only thing that wakes me up. And like, it jolts your brain into like, what the heck? Like, I'm awake now. And it isn't as cold when you get out of it. And it's like, oh, everything's just warm now. Like, feels good. I recommend it, guys.
Yeah, you feel so good. And I was telling Paulina this too. It's just like, there, I don't care if you've only had 2 hours of sleep and you're kind of sick. If you do a breathing exercise, and I would suggest the Wim Hof one, mm-hmm. and you get in a cold shower and you pump yourself up and you tell yourself why you love yourself and like why you're excited about the day. I mean, like, you're good to go. Like, people, like, and the other thing is too, it gets rid of bags under the eyes. People
might
not know this, but it does. Yes, it does. Ooh. I'm on like month seven, and I take like probably three a day, because I take one in the morning, one after my first workout, and then one after my second workout at night, right before bed. And I used to have some bags, and they're kind of gone.
You know, so that might be the thing to like make girls change that. You know those memes where like, what's hotter than hell? Like, when a girl takes a shower, it's true. Oh. You take really, really hot showers. I don't know why.
But, I don't know.
And oof.
Makes your hair like feel nicer too. It's just softer.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. It's like, you know, speaking of like not supposed to be masculine, but like, I really, really like my hair when it's cold. It looks so much better.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's like you're cold. And also you just take shorter showers. I think this whole episode just to be cold showers.
Why everybody's doing cold showers?
I mean, I have a suggestion.
Why you need to get cold twice a day.
Yeah, I have a suggestion for people who don't want to like jump into it immediately. As soon as you're done with your like cleaning yourself, you know, at the very end of your bath or your shower, just put it at the cold setting and then just end your shower with like mm-hmm. really cold, and then that'll ease into it. It's not as like mm-hmm. hardcore as like the whole shower is cold. But
when I first started, I would only do my face and my hair like cold in like the very end, like mm-hmm. so I'll just wait. So I agree.
Yeah, ease into it. So how are you feeling, Paulina? Since how are you feeling?
I mean, whatever nervousness I had before, it went away, because this is kind of funny now. Before that, I was saying that I had a lot of anxiety today in the morning and then yesterday, just because I'm like going through finding a new therapist in Long Beach. And it makes you bring up a lot of like traumatic things. So you're constantly like bringing it up instead of like taking your time. So did not have a fun day yesterday, but I feel like today is better. So that's good.
Yeah. Today is better.
Yeah. How about you, Ram?
Yeah, I feel pretty good right now, because technical difficulties are being alleviated. Like, Jeremy sounds great. We all sound great. I think. Yeah, I was for a moment while I was like waiting for the invite, I was like, oh no, this is all going wrong. But like, I kind of just stopped and think like, no, this is fine.
That was the world trying to get us to do a Spanish episode without you in it.
Right, I'm trying to keep you out.
Yeah. They were having off pod. They were having like a whole full blown conversation in Spanish. And I was just like, man, I really need to speak Spanish. I need to learn how to speak Spanish. But I feel good. I was saying off before that I have a lot of work going on, just a lot of projects, a lot of assignments on my last semester and for my journalism degree, and just a lot of things are piling up. But I alleviated that by just getting a app and writing everything down. And in order. So now I know when everything is going to happen. So for some reason that really helped. I didn't think it would, but it did. So I'm thankful for that. So yeah, I'm feeling pumped. Let's go. Let's
freaking go. Kanye.
I'm pumped. Ready for to this.
Go. So Jeremy, what made you want to be on the podcast? Like, yeah, once again.
So as we were talking about before, masculinity has such a different tinge of color when it comes to being an athlete, especially in this world. There's so much emotion that is not supposed to be shared unless you're standing on a podium holding a trophy. That's mm-hmm. like the only time you're allowed to cry. And I was raised with an absolutely amazing example of a father, and I lost him when I was 10 years old. But he would literally come into my room. He was a 6'2", 225, absolutely jacked sergeant. So he came from such a masculine place and showed so much love. He'd rub my head, tell me how much he loved me. He'd sneak me out of my bedroom. We'd grab ice cream until our mom, you know, mom came out and caught us. And there was just so much love. And, you know, he didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He didn't do anything that a normal masculine, mm-hmm. quotes, person did. And I respected that and learned so much from that. And after I lost him, I lost permission to do that myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't have a role model in your life that leads up to that expectation, you look at other parents, you look at other coaches, you look at other teachers. And I noticed that there was one or two things. They were either really, really nice and they got walked on mm-hmm. and they weren't respected. And they were a little mushy and they didn't know how to give out compliments without making people feel a little bit mm-hmm. uneasy. Or mm-hmm. they were assholes. They got what they wanted and nobody really wanted to spend time with them. A lot of times they would do, you know, they drank, they smoked weed. They acted like they were, you know, 15 years mm-hmm. old, even though they were 40 mm-hmm. and they wanted the power. And my dad was just a guy. He didn't care about the power. He got all the, you know, he got every promotion he ever wanted to, but like, no one was like that. And it wasn't until I went away from my hometown that I felt that old self kind of come back up out. Like, I say it's not mm-hmm. my old self, it's my original self, mm-hmm. that innocent me. And I found myself mentoring so many people, you know, and a story that I told before, you know, I was in like a piano bar and I found if I made myself uncomfortable first, it allowed other people to open up and be themselves, like their beautiful selves, like their awesome selves mm-hmm. that they like hide from everybody. Like, you know, like I used to hide that I played like Yu-Gi-Oh and play piano and I sing and I do all these things because, oh, you're an athlete. You're not supposed to do that. If you can windmill dunk, you're not supposed to do that stuff. No, like I called BS on that. And so like we'd be in a bar and this masculine guy that's going to be a cop is one of my friends. And I was like, dude, let's go sing. And he's like, oh, man, like, I don't know. I get kind of nervous in public. I was like, fine, I'll go first. I'll sing the most difficult Mariah Carey song I can think of. And then you go ahead and join in. And
yeah.
So I just started pounding on the piano and I was singing Elton John. And like, you know, the whole place was just having fun. And cause I was just having fun mm-hmm. and I'm actually a decent singer. So that helps. But like he finally started singing along to one of the verses and I just let him take over and he just like exploded. And he was amazing. He was so good. And I just looked at him. I was like, dude, you are so good. And I looked at everyone. I was like, is he not amazing? And to uplift somebody else and see them turn on is powerful. It's so powerful. And then I went and sat down at this group of, cause I got this 16-year-old girl. There was like this group of like 15 and 16 and 17-year-old like kids. And I got one of the girls to come and do a duet with me. And she was so nervous. And I was like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And she was amazing. And like, I went and sat down at the table and I like started mentoring them about like, you know, hey, I love how you guys like interact and like being able to look at a best friend and be like, hey, you're amazing. I'm so thankful to have you in my life. Mm-hmm. Just sheer gratitude mm-hmm. and to teach people that kind of stuff while you're drinking a smoothie in a little coffee bar. Like it's one of those things where like that is timeless. And then I went to Lithuania, I went to Germany and I feel like I've been able to spread so much love in so many different places where when I stay true to myself, it's like got this huge effect. And like, I watch people turn on like all the time and then they trust me. They trust me with so much, like they trust me with so many intimate details. And so when I wanted to leave the Instagram world and like the real life world and join the voice world, I went and started going through podcasts and I was like, who would I relate with? Like who maybe has a description on their podcast that like, sounds like they're trying to do the same thing I'm doing, which is just love people and teach people that like, hey, like this description that we got from the movies and from our parents and from our aunts and uncles and, you know, friends, parents, like it's not what we have to live up to. Like we have our own choices and like we can be who we want to be and what we actually truly feel mm-hmm. like we have a truth. Mm-hmm. And when I came out of this podcast, I was just like, damn straight. And I was like, you know what? These guys might be just somebody that has a really cool description that I connect with and we get on the phone and we don't connect, but chances are we probably are. And it could be so beneficial and it could change what I've seen it could change one to 10 people to, this could change 100 people's lives at some point in 2 years. Like, we don't know. And even that is worth the time and worth the risk and worth a take two, if you will.
Yeah. Damn. Well, thank you. Thank you for, thank you for reaching out.
Honestly. Yeah. So how did you get to that point of like, cause you said when your dad passed away that you kind of lost that permission to be, when did you get to the place that you are now?
Yeah. How did you get it back? Or
that's actually a great question, because when I would look up to like my friends' dads, I always felt like I was stepping on their toes. Like I knew how precious that time was. And so I wouldn't want to ask questions and I wouldn't want to, you know, be mentored. And it really wasn't until I met people that like looked at me and I knew they weren't looking at the clock. And that's just so big. Like when someone's there and they're present, like they're not looking at the clock, they're not looking at their phone. Like you can tell that they actually care what you have to say. And when I went to Klamath Falls, actually Klamath Falls, Oregon, I went there for a baseball trip and I kind of just exploded. Like nobody knew who I was and I got to be whoever I wanted to be. And one of the cool people, quote unquote, on the team in this athletic world liked me. And like, he played music and he was a ton of fun. And I was like, man, this guy's a popular guy and he likes me even though I'm not like anybody else. And we would sing and we choreographed this dance in front of 4,000 people. And you can see the league. I mean, two of us literally went out in the middle of the sixth inning and danced in front of 4,000 people in Klamath Falls, Oregon. And it was just nuts. It was to a Kesha, this place about to blow. And my mom came down and she happened to be there. And she was like, who are you? Like, where did this come from? And so it was so many moments, and there's been so many moments, like, and I really think we're constantly fighting this. Just like I said, like yesterday, when I went and did that bowler plunge, like those moments change you and they shape you, but you have to like constantly check into, am I really being myself or am I being what society has taught me I'm supposed to be like, and what the cultural norms have taught me to be like, and what the people around me have taught me to be like. So not only has it been like a bunch of different moments, but it's also been like every day. And the last thing I'll say is when I was in Germany, then this was when I stopped drinking. I want to play in the NBA. I want to make a difference in this world, and playing in the NBA will give me such a big platform to reach out to so many kids. And I was in Germany and I was out and I was absolutely just drunk off my mind on a 6-foot speaker box, like getting handed drinks. And I was speaking fluent German, drunken German. And I was calling my, you know, I went out a hero. But I told my friend the next morning, this is one of the stories I've told on stage, is, hey man, like, dude, I can't walk today. I can't move. I can't eat, much less train. I have too many big goals. Like, I'm done, dude. Like, you know, drinking was never a big deal for me, but I'm done. Like, until I make it, like, I'm never going to drink again. And he called me 4 straight nights. And I don't know about you, but if you're a friend and someone told you that they don't ever want to do something again, would you really call them and put that in front of them 4 straight
Probably
nights?
Probably not. I wouldn't want to do that.
Like, yeah. And like, I was like, dude, if you were my friend, I'd be like, dude, I don't want to see you then. Like, go to the gym, like go do what you said you want to do, if that's true to you. And so I guess I just realized that like, there's a big difference between friends and buddies that actually kind of want you to fail because they want you to stay with them. And this is what I was telling Paulina a second ago. There's a part of it where there's people that she was asking, is it hard to leave all the time? Cause I've been in 8 different countries. I've been on 4 different tours, as well outside of the seasons. And it gets easier to leave because when you come back, you realize that those friends, a lot of times were situational friends. A lot of times they have a negative viewpoint on life and they talk about things that happened in the past, and they're your buddies that want you to stay with them versus like have you succeed and make them feel uncomfortable because you're out chasing your goals. So there were so many moments, but that was probably the biggest one in Germany when I was like, wait a minute, like who are my friends? Who have I been surrounding mm-hmm. myself with? Like, am I being authentic to who I was from the start? And then once I found Tony Robbins, and because I stopped hanging out mm-hmm. with people for a while because I wanted to figure out who I was. And that's when I refound that original mm-hmm. self. And I was listening to Tony Robbins. I started listening to these big mentors and I was like, oh my God, I've always thought like this. Like, why am mm-hmm. I scared to be this way? And I probably spent the better part of like 6 months to a year by myself, either training or listening to like big time speakers that were like me, because I wanted to go back mm-hmm. to my original self, mm-hmm. not my old self. Like that innocent, loving kid that just had so much fun with
life. Yeah, I think we all kind of want to get that.
So you got, yeah, that's absolutely. So you asked a really good question. Sorry, I had to.
It's really interesting because, like, so I came here to school for 3 years in Long Beach, and then a lot of things happened that kind of dragged me back to Fresno. Like, all of the stuff from my childhood kind of came up, but I spent a lot of time alone. Like, mm-hmm. I think the first 6-7 months that I was went back home and I was alone, and there was periods of time when I would be like, I feel like I wanted to be around people, like I missed like the environment that I was in here. But then I realized, like, I think this is what mm-hmm. is supposed to be happening, because it gave me that time, like you said, to find out who I am again. And when I would come back to Long Beach, I realized like I wasn't true to myself, and the people that I surrounded myself with too, like you said, we're like situational friends. So it's really interesting that you say that.
Yeah. Here's a question for you too. Question for you, like when you left, and this is something that I talked to so many people about uh-huh. that had traveled the world, is when you left, when you came back, tell me they weren't doing the same thing they were 6 months ago.
Some of them
were,
honestly. And now that I'm back again, I've realized some of the people that I do want to keep in my life. And like you said, like I think when you leave and you come back, you realize who are your true friends are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it feels like you saw them yesterday, but there's all, like I said, there's just certain times where you come back and you're like, wait a minute, like you're still talking about that. You're still like doing this, like, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have this different view of what you want and like what your standards are going to be in your life for your friends. Cause you haven't met your best friend yet. Like,
really?
I'm a firm believer really? Of that.
Hmm. When do you think you'll meet him? Or what is the time frame?
Well, the reason why I said that is because like I didn't meet like one of my best friends until 3 years ago, and I worked with him, and he just sent me this long message of gratitude that was just amazing when I left for one of my first teams in Kentucky. And like him and I were nice to each other, but like I didn't realize the impact that I had made in his life until he sent me that message. And then when I came back, like I worked with him and I mentored him a little bit in certain ways, kind of like a little brother. And he's become like literally like one of my best friends. And I never would have met him if I wouldn't have kept making different decisions, I guess. And like so many people have like a circle of friends. It's usually mm-hmm. about like 4 or 5. And they don't branch outside that circle because they're like afraid to. And then when they do, you make a new circle of like 3 or 4 mm-hmm. in every city that you go in. And like, so I guess it's not that like a time frame. It's just that when you, if you can make connections literally every single day and learn how to smile at people and learn how to like, you'll meet somebody and you'll just connect. And instead of, a lot of times people will connect with someone, like whether it's a cashier, whether it's someone they're, you know, meet at a game or something, not just a opposite sex, but like someone that's just a connection. And then they'll be like, dude, it was so cool to meet you. Like, you know, have a good day. Like, have a nice day, you know, and they follow that script that I talk about a lot on my podcast, which is like, hey, how are you? Good. Have a good day. See it. Like, people don't really get in depth very much. But even if you do have that connection, how often do you be like, dude, you're pretty cool, man. You should, I want to get your number. Like, we should have lunch sometime. Like, it just doesn't happen that often. And I think that's probably one of the coolest things that I've learned is that once you hang out with them and you meet them, then they introduce you to their friends, and like maybe they introduce you to your next girlfriend or your next wife or your husband or like boyfriend or whatever it might be. Like, it's been so cool to see how that happens just from one simple connection, because I decided to hang out and talk for 5 minutes.
I've actually been exploring like the idea of connection, because I feel like people that suffer from like depression or anxiety, a lot of the times, like, we don't have connections anymore. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, even the way we connect, like I originally, when I look back at my time here, cause I was in college, like I connected with people through parties, like, and so that's what my life looked like. And those are the friends that I had, because that's how I only knew how to make connections, like through drinking or going out, you know? And now that I like branched out and was a little bit more uncomfortable because I didn't drink when I met people, like you definitely get to know them on a different level. And it's more substantial, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know Ram was going to say something.
No, I was reading your email. And one thing that caught my eye was you said that you want to teach people how to create quote unquote rock bottom without actually having to go there. What does that mean? What does rock bottom look like for you? Like what is...
Ooh. before I go to rock bottom. because I was going to say, you know, so many times that, you know, when people are feeling depressed or have anxiety, they feel alone in it. And they don't realize how many people are going through that. Like how many people have went through that, because so many, and one of the things that helps me is like, they're just better at masking.
Definitely.
Like they're better. They put on a different face, like, or they've been in the situation so many times that it doesn't phase them
as
much.
Accurate.
Like it's either through experience or just they're better at acting. And so, I want people to feel so, because a lot of times they'll meet their heroes too. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, he was just a normal guy. He was so cool. Yeah. He was just a normal guy. And guess what? At some point he had the same insecurities, the same anxieties, the same amount of followers as you do. Like he looked just like you 10 years ago. He was in his room wondering if he was going to make it, crying because he had, or his mom lost a house. Like they have so many. And I feel like the more bad things that happen to people, usually the more successful they become, because they don't want it to happen to others. Like, and they want to give back and all of a sudden the value.
Speaking of that,
explodes.
Like
cool.
You say like something bad happened to them, so they don't want it to happen to others. There was like a quote that I saw on Facebook that was like, there's like two kinds of you people in the universe. Either one person is saying, I went through it, so should you. And then the other person's like, I went through it, but I'm going to work my hardest so you don't have to go through it. I mean, I feel like there's like some value in going through it, but also at the same time, I don't know if I want other people to experience some of the hardships I've done. Like, I don't know, like, what are you guys' takes on that? Because I'm like, of course, it's good to go through some of the bad stuff, or like, but I don't want it to happen to them. So I want to work my hardest so it doesn't happen to them. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Wow. I don't know. I'm going to tell you first that I'm not a quotes guy. I'm really not. And
I just saw it on Facebook.
Powerful.
I was like, well, that's real. I was like, damn.
I'm quotes.
I mean,
my take on it,
because
I know some
start.
People like what you mean, that you can go through it and then you can help somebody. And that's like the taking the positive of it. And I do believe in that. But also, I don't want things like this to continue to happen. Like, I want to be vocal and I want to do my best.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't continue, because like my mindset is always like looking at what if you see like a 6-year-old girl, like the same thing that happened to me, and she's just been like abused sexually, like are you gonna sit with her and be like, don't worry, like this is gonna help somebody else one day? Like, no, you don't want that to happen.
It's us
that like make that meaning, and we work through it. And it looks very inspirational. You're like, yeah, this happened to you, but look at all the things you did because of it. But really, you just don't want it to continue. Like, that's my stance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think there's a lot of power in something like that, you know, where it's just, it's so traumatic that obviously you would never want someone to go through that. There's the other side of a different, completely different coin. Like this is a paper bill at this point. It's so different. Is like when I coach players, I learned through mistakes without having a role model. So I made as many mistakes as possible and just kind of flew by the seat of my pants and then figured out what I needed to do differently and then put my head down and put the work in. So when it comes to making mistakes that are like you know, they have nothing to do with like traumatic experiences, I want people to make as many mistakes as possible
and quickly
as possible, because then you can actually learn. When it comes to like traumatic experiences, there's certain ones that are going to happen as far as like death. I actually call anxiety just a human experience where you actually care about the situation. Like, cause I have a, I'm going to have a six, here's my 6-year-old analogy that I'll go with. I'm going to have a 6-year-old someday and he's never going to have heard the word anxiety or depression or overwhelmed. Like they're literally not in my vocabulary. And so he will have never heard them until he's going to be at a game. And some little kid's going to walk up to him and be like, oh, I feel so nervous. I have so much anxiety. And my kid's going to look at him and be like, what does that mean? And so he's going to come back to me. He's going to be like, Dad, this kid was saying, like Johnny was saying, he had a bunch of anxiety. Like, what was he talking about? And I'm like, oh, come here, buddy. Like, hey, remember that feeling that we talked about? Like when you asked me that your stomach kind of felt weird and I said your body's just priming itself because you're about to do something that's exciting in front of people and it could go really awesome and it could not. Like, that's just your body priming itself. Mm-hmm. They just use a different word for it. And, like, that kid has no idea and has so much. He's going to go into it going, oh, cool. Like, I'm about to do something exciting, of course. Like, my body's just smarter than me, and it's just preparing itself. Like, it's going through a bit of checks. Like, and my kid's going to go at it for looking from a positive outlook of I'm about to do something really fun and exciting. And this other kid's coming at it from a defeated perspective because that's what his parents decided to teach him. Not going anything on parenting or society or wherever he learned it from. But like, there's much definitely. Power
I was actually thinking about that while I was like driving earlier. And as I mean, that's what they teach you in like, I think in CBT, in like cognitive behavior therapy, where it's like, instead of saying what could go wrong, like anxiety, like what could go wrong? Why don't you ask what could go right? You know? actually, there was another thing where I think I told Paulina this a couple weeks ago where I think because I'm pretty self-deprecating sometimes. And I would say I just want someone like I would see like a like if I'm on Tinder and I was like, wow, this person looks like they'll ruin my life. Like or like I would say, like, can someone please like come into my life and ruin it? Like and like a girl to ruin my life. And then someone told me, like, why do you want that? Why don't you come from a perspective like, why can't someone come in and make my life better? And I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way, but okay. I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, oh, why don't I want someone to come in and like make my life better instead of ruin it? But it's like the same thing. Like, it's like my perspective going into it is like defeatist. And it's like, I don't know.
Basically Ram. But yeah, back to the rock bottom thing, Jeremy. Yeah, what bottom. Is that about?
Man, I don't know. This is something that is a little bit different, and you definitely have to have a lot of courage to do this kind of stuff, because I was in China. I'm just going to tell a story. I was in China. There was 5,000 people in the gym. It was nationally televised in China, and we were on a tour there playing for like a USA team. And at halftime, one of my friends, shout out Flight 808, this guy's a stud. He does dunk contests. Like, he was jumping over people, like windmilling, going through the legs. Like, he's absolute athletic freak. And I'm watching him, and I'm watching these guys do this dunk contest, and I'm like, man, I'm sitting on the sidelines kind of in a self-pity moment of, I used to have that before I got injured, and it would take so much to get back to that point. Like, it would take so much work to get back to that point. And I was like, I had this moment and I knew what I needed to do. And I looked at my roommate, who was the same guy, his name was Brandon Matano. And I kind of winked at him, and I walked out on the court. And I grabbed the ball from the like DJ announcer. They had like a Chinese DJ announcer that was talking to the fans and getting them hyped up. And he didn't know who I was. And so he just handed me the ball. And my coach was like, no. Like, what are you doing? Like, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do the dunk contest. And I knew that I was so, I was about to embarrass myself in front of 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And I knew that, like, when you get inspired, and I don't really believe in motivation and inspiration, because the only time people change is from rock bottom. The only time people change is when they're really sick. That's when their health, they finally go, okay, no more. I can't do this anymore. The only time people give up give up drinking or they give up smoking is because they got so sick or like their parents died. People don't change on, people don't like go, oh my God, thank God for January 1st, 2012, because that was the day my life changed. No, they go, thank God for August 7th, 1998, because that was the day my dad died. And like the last thing he asked me to do in a letter he left on my bed was to put the bottle down. Like that's the things that make people change is rock bottom. Like when they were so sick, they're like, oh my God, I found out I had cancer and it was supposed to be stage 3. And so I went on this like 4-week cleanse and then like the tumor left my body because I stopped eating shit. I stopped putting garbage in my body. Like, you know, that's when people change is when they hit rock bottom. So it's like, how can you create your own rock bottom? And in this situation, it happened to be in my basketball career. Cause I was like, I'm literally about to embarrass myself in front of 5,000 people. And boy, I did a real good job of it. It was that minute and a half felt like such a long time because I tried to like do a windmill. And when I caught it, I threw it over the backboard and it landed in like the seventh row. And so I went jogging after it. I was like, hey, yeah, I need my ball. Like, thank you. Like, and I went out and I tried to do something else. And I'm like, I hit the backboard hard. And like my teammates were I look over and they're putting like towels over their face. Like they're embarrassed for me. And I finally like got a dunk down and I handed it back. And like the crowd didn't make any like noise at all. Like 5,000 people. And like I could hear myself think. And I like walked over and the only person that didn't have a towel over his face was my roommate because him and I talked about creating real motivation and real lasting change and what that comes from. And I just winked at him and he knew what I was doing. And it's easy when you get inspired to make a change like for that first month. But what are you going to do between month like 2 and 6? Because those months suck and that's when you actually make the difference. And so I created my own wall in the sand. I created my own embarrassing moment that I was never going to forget when I was like 2 months in. And I was like, I told myself I wanted to be able to jump again. And this is what happened. You remember it. And I literally trained for 6 months and I increased my vertical back 6 inches and I could do all the stuff that I wanted to do again. And so basically what I would tell people is there's a way where maybe you're completely out of shape, like ridiculously out of shape. And you can literally walk on a beach and take off your fucking shirt.
No, it's an explicit podcast. You can cuss all you want.
Okay, cool. but like, you know, and take off your shirt and like maybe do it in like a public, like a Saturday market or something like that. Like sometimes you need to feel that level of embarrassment. And you need to create like that, like those rock bottom moments. And like, you need to, because motivation, it just doesn't last. It really doesn't. And like inspiration doesn't last. But like when you're embarrassed and you've created those moments for yourself, guess what? They last. And that also comes with telling the truth. So I'm going to go one step further in relationships. I was kind of a mean little bitch since we're going explicit. With a relationship that I had in college and I did not know how to be centered in myself as a man and I acted like an idiot pretty much. But basically, long story short, like the relationship ended, she broke up with me. And when I called my family, I had the opportunity to say like, oh, you know, she told me that she just was too, like she, it wasn't, you know, good time for her. And, you know, that, you know, all the excuses. But I finally manned up and I was talking to my brother on the phone. I said, dude, I was a needy little bitch. And like, I loved her so much, like so quick that like, I just suffocated the shit out of her. And I was literally crying because it was the first time I'd ever told the truth. And like, I created my own rock bottom because I was not hiding from my own, like from the reality of what was going on. And so many times when we tell a story of what happened, we tell the fabricated story because we're so embarrassed by it that we don't want to tell the real story. And then when you tell the fake story, you don't go through the pain that you need to feel and it's going to repeat itself.
I really like that. Yeah. Like you go through the pain that you needed. Like you, if you just take, if you tell the fake story, you don't go through what you needed to go through. I really like that idea.
No. And so many times we do that, like whether it's with sports, whether it's with our relationships, whether it's with our jobs, like we'll just be like, oh no, like it was, a bad time. No, I missed 8 free throws in a row. And the guy from the Spurs literally wanted to kill me because that was the most embarrassing moment of my life. Like I've had these moments, and like to tell the truth, here's what I'll tell people, like people, because people need to hear this on your podcast. Like if you're struggling with telling the truth, whether it's about like something important, or even if it's like about like something that's taboo, like pornography or something like that, and you're trying to like be a better person, like start the sentence with, well, I'm about to be pretty honest right now. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Like, cause it eases yourself into it, and it eases them into, you're about to say something that's like, not, people are not used to say. Like,
I mean, that's the whole concept of like,
I just want people to know that
going to therapy, or just cause you get to be heard. Like you're speaking your truth and somebody's hearing it and being not judgmental towards you. I mean,
right.
Everything you might say might not be correct, but at least you're saying it out loud instead of lying to yourself, lying to others. And then you can just kind of work from there.
Absolutely. And if you can't find, and if you don't have a safe friend that you can talk to right now, I would definitely say that like a therapy session or just having like a therapist, like once a month, even that you can actually tell the real truth to, could be super, super, super beneficial for your life. But like Paulina said, how cool would it be to have a world that we've created where things don't happen because people tell the truth from the start, and people don't have these insecurities? Because, you know, I think that's really what creates the monsters in the first place, is the insecurities from our past.
So what do you say is the difference between solitude and isolation? Like in your world? Because I think if you have these goals, like you're going to have to spend time alone. Like it's just a given, but finding that difference of having solitude and isolation.
I'm actually going to have you define what solitude and isolation means to you first. And then
solitude, I think, is just when you enjoy your own company, you're like being by yourself. Like you need that time alone. Isolation is kind of, maybe you don't want to deal with things and you isolate yourself from people that are supposed to be there for you.
Wait,
I don't know how to explain it.
I think,
okay. So you see isolation almost as a little more as a negative connotation.
You could feel alone or isolated even when you're with people. So I feel like solitude.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Solitude is like, you enjoy 100%. Just like, I am with myself and I'm good with that. Like I actually enjoy, I prefer it maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, because you travel a lot, so you can easily feel like isolated, like you have nobody, right? Like that's the feeling.
Ah, okay, so that's why I asked you to define them for me first, because I was trying to figure out why you were asking that question in general. I feel more connected, actually, this might sound strange. I feel more connected out here than I do if I was living in Oregon with my family. And the reason is, and this is the reason why I want people to be a little more selfish with their lives. When you love yourself and you put time into yourself and you invest into yourself and you spend time figuring out who you are, you become this ball of energy. And when you go back into your family's life, you bring that ball of energy, those experiences, the good, the bad, the loves, the friends, the new language, the new surroundings, like the 2 weeks of hardship followed by the 2 weeks of, oh my God, I didn't know that was going to happen. And you appreciate them so much. And the crazy thing is like, I feel like when I'm becoming the best version of myself, even though a lot of times it happens in solitude, because training a lot of times is solitude, because people don't train 4 hours a day. And so I spend 3 of those hours by myself every single day for basically the last like 2 years. It really does. There is moments that get really lonely. There really are moments where I'm training and I'm like, man, I don't really want to train right now because I just want to be, I want to feel what you were saying. Like I want to feel connection with people. And what I didn't realize is that I can actually have both, and I can have it more amazing than I ever thought was possible. And that was through putting myself through as many amazing experiences as possible and not walking by a connection, not walking by a moment where I saw this girl in the gym 2 days ago. I don't speak Danish yet, but I don't speak good Danish yet, but I could tell she was trying to like do this box squat, and she would try and try and like, and she'd kind of come back down. I was like, I think she's coming off an injury. And so I was like, hey, unskud, like tera do English. Like I was asking her like, hey, do you speak English? And she was like, yes. And I was like, are you coming off an injury? And she's like, oh, yes. And then I was like, how long? She's like, it's been like three years. And this was the podcast that I gave a few weeks ago about value, the one that I did 17 takes on that I told you about before the podcast. Because it is so hard to explain to people that getting value and getting love like is such a broad concept. But when you don't miss opportunities, you feel so fulfilled at the end of the day that you don't feel isolated. And I feel so connected being out here, and I feel like I'm doing my life's work. And I have family and friends that understand that, and they actually appreciate that more than me being there and me being with them. So they're not my buddies. They're my friends that understand. Yeah. Does that make sense? So like if I still had a bunch of buddies, I would feel isolated. But I have so many amazing, wonderful friends that I talk to at least once a week on the phone. And a lot of times that conversation is, hey man, I hadn't got a chance to talk to you. So I just wanted to call and tell you, I love you. And, you know, hope your week's going well. And like, there's like, dude, it's so good to hear from you. Like you'll never imagine what happened. There's so much energy. There's so much love because guess what? When you start doing this kind of stuff, you walk away from those negative people that were buddies in your life. And you find these friends that are so similar. And sometimes you do spend a lot of time alone before you find these people. But when you do, it is so much more fulfilling. And they're gonna like, they're like your own hype man and you're theirs. Like they make you feel so good about what you're doing and you get to make them feel so good about what they're doing that like you're, and a lot of times those people are on life missions. Like they're trying to make the world a better place. You're not going to be spending every Friday together having taco night or taco Tuesday. And then Friday night we're going to the bars together. Like that's not connection to me. Like that is temporary entertainment. And when you have genuine connection, it means you're genuinely on a life journey that's pretty similar to theirs. And one of the things we talk about is, hey man, you know how cool it'd be if we actually didn't see each other for a year, and then in a year we were both exactly where we wanted to be, and we could just bless the shit out of so many people in this world. Like there's so much power to that. There's so much power to stepping out and going on your own. And then being able to do double, like if you're a giver, if you went and did, became the person that you really, really could be, then you could bless them, not with like a drink at the bar. You could bless them and be like, hey man, I'm going to Disney World next week. And guess who's got a ticket? I already called your mom. I already talked to your boss. Like you literally have the week off. Surprise. Happy birthday. Let's go. How cool is that? Like you could really bless somebody like that. That to me is so much more. And so I guess it comes from a future perspective of I'm not isolated. I'm working towards something that's going to be able to make me feel that I'm going to be able to have any connection and be able to bless so many people that I'm close with that I've like came into contact with over the last few years. So it's just a little bit different, I guess. I don't feel isolated.
Jeremy, you're giving me like answers to all the questions I've had this like past month.
Yeah, you're giving me an epiphany right now.
Like, seriously.
My epiphany right now is like, huh, I just understood what fulfillment means. Because fulfillment is like you're filled with so much stuff that you're just your cup runneth over. You're just too much that you have to give it to other people. Like if you're fulfilled, that means you have enough for yourself that you have enough to give other people. Like you said, like you just have so much that you want to just be a giver. You just have to give. Like, I guess I just realized what fulfillment means. It's just being true to yourself and being able to give to others.
I'm not going to get emotional when I tell you this, but on December 4th, 2016, I sat down and I wrote on my bed. I was working for a restaurant called, actually it doesn't matter, but I was working for a restaurant in Portland, Oregon. And I was in a place where I didn't want to be. I was not a very good mindset. And I sat down and I prayed. And there was a movie at the time Will Smith was in it, and in the movie, Will Smith would write to love and time and death.
Is Pursuit of Happiness? Is that what it is?
Do you guys remember what the movie was called? No, it was in the movie he lost his daughter, and so he would write letters to love, and he would write letters to time, and he would write letters to death. And it was so profound that I was moved by it. And without a dad, honestly, Will Smith, I learned a lot of stuff from watching movies because he was just such an amazing person. So anyways, I sat down and I wrote a letter out to love, to time, and to fate and to God. And I wasn't a very spiritual person. But in the letter, one of the things that I prayed for from love was I feel so empty and I feel alone. And the only thing I pray is that I pray that like I can learn to love myself so much that my cup runs over in other people's lives. Like literally exactly what you said.
No, when you were talking about fulfillment, I was like, that's what came into my mind. It's like my cup runneth over. It's like, I don't know. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I had to tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's giving me chills, bro.
I had to tell you that.
No, honestly, because I like this, because since I moved back in January here. So it's been like almost 2 years since I used to live here. So things obviously are different. But being here has like made me question, like, what do I want in my life? And what kind of people do I want again in my life? Like, what do I want to surround myself with? And like the thing you said about the people that like they're meant to be doing something, they're not always going to be constantly in your life, but that they're always going to support you. Like that's one of my questions. Like, what does support look like? So you're kind of like giving me all the answers. What to look for, Jeremy. Honestly. Yeah.
That's really
cool.
Wow. So what is the sports world like? What is the environment?
Well, in this situation is really cool because in Denmark, the basketball culture is actually not very big. So this is going to be an anomaly because the basketball culture is so not very big to the point where when they bring Americans over, the Americans are like also like an assistant coach. So I have gotten to actually create this environment exactly the way I've always wanted a basketball environment to be. AKA, if you walk in my gym, you are not allowed to ever take your own insecurities and put them onto another one of our players. And it was such a cool moment because when I got to set the precedent, like when I first came in, of like, hey man, if you want to stay after for 35 minutes, if you want to stay after for 4 hours, I will never look at a clock. If you're here to get better, I will stay here until you're done. Like, I will make you feel everything that I didn't have after I lost my dad. And like, I didn't tell them that part, but like, that's my goal. And it was such a cool thing because I had this kid that I'm working with. He's actually only 15 years old, but he's too good to be on the lower club. So he gets to practice with us. And he was going through this really difficult shooting drill that I put everyone through. And this kid on the side was like, oh, and he finally hit the backboard. It was kind of an embarrassing shot. He was like, oh, real nice shot, man. I looked at him. I said, don't you ever fucking do that again. And like the kid turned so red because everyone was there. There was like a girls practice there too. And he like looked down and I was like, come on, man, we got this. Like, let's finish up. And like he finished up and like he finally made the three in a row. And I walked over to him. I was like, do you understand that like in this world, we're going to have so many people that are going to be out and going to say negative things. And I was like, in this room, we do nothing but support each other because I don't give a shit about your own insecurities. You're not going to put them on him. And I was like, do you understand? And he was just like, yep. And I was like, cool. And we're good. I was like, this is a man to man. Like, and now we're good. We'll never have to talk about this again. Cause first off, I know that you're never going to do that again. And like, this is the environment. So it's been really amazing. I'm so thankful that I'm here cause I've gotten to create my own environment. Typically in America, the basketball environment is a lot of fake swag. It's a lot of people that are what I call they're cool before they're committed. We have this, we have our role models that are in the NBA. They've worked out for so many hours. They get to be cool. And this is what I do. this is what I talk to people when I'm working with them. Like, mm-hmm. hey, they get to be cool. They're like the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. Like, they've trained thousands and thousands and thousands of hours mm-hmm. and made their bodies literally machines. Like, when they walk in a gym, they get to be cool. But you don't get to be cool yet. And like, I don't get to say that to my teammates in America because we're all on the mm-hmm. same level. I wasn't an assistant coach. And it's difficult because the coaches like look at that and they see, you know, the people that like have that like swagger as like a really good thing. And it's like, you have, I don't know. It's just tough. Honestly, it's tough. It's a hard world. It's very cutthroat. It's a lot of people they're not supporting each mm-hmm. other because they want that job. And, you know, the tryout community, like it's tough. It really is. And like, you have to become so mentally tough that when you walk in the gym, that you hear what people say, but you don't listen to them, including coaches. Like even like in a pump up speech, when a coach is giving you a pump up speech, you have to be so prepared that you're not even like listening to the words that he's saying, cause it's just words. So yeah, it's tough, and it's been an amazing journey, and it's pushed me to failure. It's pushed me. I've had some cool successes where I got drafted in the, first round of a new league that opened up last year and ended up getting cut from a team in Kansas City and a team in Vegas before I ended up out here. But, you know, the basketball world has taught me to how to put my head down and like work for like 3 or 4 hours a day with the understanding of, hey, I'm not going to be an all-star in 2 weeks, but if I keep up this persistence and it's not motivation and it's not inspiration, like I talked about before, like in 3 months, I will have worked out as much as typical people do in 9 months. It's just that like compound effect. I don't know if you guys ever read that book, but like,
I want to ask, it's
cool.
You probably know more about discipline than I do, but how do you stop your, cause sometimes you have that resistance, that feeling of like, I don't want to work out. I don't want to do this. Like sometimes I want to eat this garbage that I know I shouldn't be eating. How do you, mm-hmm. what do you do or how do you go about like, mm-hmm. going around that resistance or like pushing through? Cause I feel like if I could, I feel that force when it's like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. So I just kind of give in and be like, but how do you just discipline yourself? I guess, I don't know. How do you push through that?
I definitely think that there's two things when it comes to eating something that's terrible for you. Sometimes I will literally look up on Google and be like, why is a pound cake bad for you? Like if I'm really on the cusp of just diving into something that is terrible, I sometimes will Google it and remind myself why it is literally, that's kind of a joke. But like, if, as far as like discipline goes, there is the, what I first talked about is of kind of creating a rock bottom for yourself, creating a moment of embarrassment, because then you don't forget. There also that is really important, I think, is your input, your consistent input every single day and the people that you surround yourself with. I will almost double down on this because since I've been out here, I am not around the American culture at all. I do not have a television. I have Netflix on my phone, but my thoughts are, if I can watch Netflix sitting in my room, if I can edit my videos and do all the things that I need to do in my room, I can easily do these on the bike, like in the gym. Like, so I kind of give myself some compromise as far as like, hey, like I know I would like to sit here and watch. I actually just finished the Mockingjay series on Netflix because I never actually watched them, but I watched them while doing, because I do this Ray Lewis routine. It's 456 push-ups, but you go through a deck of cards to do them, and I do them every day, but I do them while having my headphones on and while watching movies or something like that. And so there is some give and take, but there's also what I call leverage, and you can create leverage over yourself through
because I'm trying to get hot, Jeremy. I'm trying to get hot because I'm trying to get somewhere ready.
What's that?
But also, I think it should apply to people who have like goals and like.
No, my goal is to be hot.
Not to.
How do we?
Also,
how do I become hot, Jeremy? How do I become hot, Jeremy? That's all I need.
Man, let's just try to be hot. Well, honestly, I think you already do one of the things that's important, which is like winning the first part of your day with like a cold shower with something that's disciplined. Because I feel like we have like a little 7-year-old that we're dragging around, and that 7-year-old is the one that's like, I really don't want to go right now. And then the 7-year-old wins. The 7-year-old wins the argument. He sits down first and you're like, oh, well, fine. We'll just sit down for a minute. Like, so the 7-year-old a lot of time wins the arguments, which is why I think the cold shower has been super cool for me, because I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I really don't want to go hop in a cold shower. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to do the breathing exercise because it actually takes effort. But I've done it for, oh, this is what I was going to go in with leverage. When you've done something for like 27 consecutive days, I actually think one of the coolest things to do is to set a goal to do something for 100 days and then announce it. Like, announce it to your friend that's going to keep you accountable. And then you announce it to, so you announce it to Paulina, you announce it to your, let's say your brother or something like that. And then for the next 100 days, because with the instinct of at the end of 100 days, I want to be hot. And at the end of these 100 days, like, so you, and here's the thing, you have to set goals that are achievable. As far as like, I'm going to do 20 minutes of pushups and sit-ups every single day for the next 100 days, and I'm not going to miss, which includes 1 a.m. You just got done with a long work day and you went to school, and then you had a friend's dinner that you needed to go to, and then a show that you were supporting, and then you get home and it's 1 a.m. Yep. And the last thing you freaking want to do is 20 minutes of pushups and sit-ups. Because a lot of times people go, oh, I want to go to the gym every day. No, that's not the case. You don't need that. You don't need the gym. You need to never miss doing 50 sit-ups.
Yeah.
Like 50 pushups or as much as you can do. And like 40 squats and then stretch. And like you have to set. And what I do is I literally set my phone. I did this for 100 straight days. I didn't miss a single day for 100 days. And now I'm on day 27 of the Ray Lewis 456 pushups. And I'll literally set my phone for like 30 minutes. And I would get out of bed sometimes at like 1 a.m. Because when you're on day 56, you know how much power that has over your own human mind when you're like, fuck, do I have to really start over at day one tomorrow if I don't get out of bed right now? You create so much leverage with yourself. And that's how I quit drinking too, is like it was 6 months in. It was 6 months in. And I told myself I'd never gonna drink the rest of my life. And it was 6 months before I put myself in that environment at all. And 6 months later, I'm in a mansion with like 30 new of my friends. And I'm like, oh crap. Like I could have one beer. It's not a big deal. It's just one beer. Like I can play beer pong. And then I went and I literally left the room that I was in where everyone was playing beer pong. And I was like, fuck. And it was like the 15-year-old me was back at his first party. And I was like, am I actually going to drink? Like, what am I going to do? I don't want to. And I was like, man, I'm at day 184. If I go have this one beer, I literally start over tomorrow at fucking day one.
That's true.
And then it's going to be so much easier to make another excuse. Like we're so addicted to our own routines, which includes being fucking lazy. Like, which includes like getting up in the morning and having and relying on coffee to wake you up rather than a cold shower and a breathing routine that's actually healthy for you. And then like having a freaking like plate of vegetables. That's like steamed vegetables before you leave. Instead of eggs, like we're addicted to our routines. And it's not until we learn how to break out of these routines that like we're actually going to have conscious like mindset over like our own disciplines. And when you set these streaks of like 100 days, when you get to like day 30, day 20, like you're like, do I really want to start over tomorrow at day one? Like, and I'm honest about it. Like, so yeah, that's definitely what I would say to the average person. I would say set a streak of an achievable goal. And I made my friend do this. They went to Villanova. I made him do, he was like 25 pushups, 25 sit-ups, don't miss a day. And he had a freaking dad bod and he used to be proud of it, you know, cause he would self-deprecate himself. And a year later, he literally sent me a picture and he had a 4-pack and he was like, it's almost a 6-pack, bro. And I just want to thank you because I have not missed a day in a year. And those 25 sit-ups, 25 pushups, it starts out as an easy goal. But it actually becomes easier over time because one day you get down, and you're like, oh, I'm feeling good. I'm just going to do 50.
Well, I always heard that, achievable goals, measure it. measure that stuff. I think there was like a announce it.
I don't know that I would say. I don't know that you really have to measure it. I just make it achievable and make it like it's a must. It is a must. Like even if you're at your friend's house and they just ordered Domino's and like you're watching the Super Bowl, or well, in this case, it's going to be like the All-Star weekend for NBA or something like that. And like, you probably don't want to train. You literally can be like, oh, hang on, guys. I gotta crank out 25 pushups, 25 sit-ups before I eat. And they might look at you funny, but this is also where it becomes like, can you stand in yourself in front of your friends? Because if not, like, are they your friends?
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Keep hearing these things that I like that come back on the podcast. It's like somebody said that it's better to do 90% every day than 110% and then get burnt out after 2 weeks and then never do it again. So the people who do 90% every day, yeah, pretty much. So if you just do 90%, you don't have to give it your all. Just as long as you do it every day, you come out like way better because you'll be doing it on a long term.
Dude, if you do 50% every day, if you're like, if you set a goal to do 10 minutes of workout every single day, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, and one day you sit down and you're like, God, I feel horrible, but you stretched for like 4 minutes and then you did like 10 pushups, 10 sit-ups, 10 squats, and you maybe worked out for 6 of those 10 minutes, you still are going to have your phone go off at that 10-minute mark and be like, oh man, I actually accomplished something. Or at the 10-minute mark, you're going to be like, I mean, I only did like 50%. Maybe I should go an extra minute. Like, just because the hard part, if you ask anybody, the hard part's going to the gym. The hard part's like going to the cold shower. It's, once you're there, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. It's just a cold shower. Like, I'm fine.
Exactly what I say that every time I do this podcast. It's like getting to this podcast the time before, it's nerve wracking, but when I'm actually doing it, it's like, oh, this is fun. Like, I love doing this. But like, everything before, it's like, I have to like prepare and all this stuff. But once I'm in it, I'm like, this is dope.
I'm gonna let you two chat for like 30 seconds when I walk in my room and grab my charger because I do not want this to die.
Okay. Yeah. For sure. We'll cut this part out. But yeah.
Oh yeah, what's his horoscope?
Yeah, I mean, we should probably wrap it up. We gotta ask him what his sign is.
Ooh.
You wanna guess? Leo. I think you're an Aries, no. Dude.
A Taurus.
You can see my sign right now.
Yeah. What's your horoscope, Jeremy?
Wait. Hold on, let's make sure this charges. It is now charging. Yeah. You're good.
This is a ongoing.
I am September 21st. I think I'm a Virgo, but I think I'm right on the line of something else.
Oh, that makes sense.
September 21st.
Yeah.
Are you a Virgo? Oh, I think you're a Virgo. I think you are a Virgo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure September, it's a Virgo.
Wait, September 21st?
I think I'm close to something else.
Or you're after a Virgo. Whatever is after a Virgo.
Let's see.
But what drew you to sports, Jeremy?
I have no idea. That's funny because someone was talking today. It's a Virgo?
Yeah, it's a Virgo.
Nice. Yep,
you're a Virgo.
They're so organized.
Probably love Virgos, dude.
A lot of determination.
Yeah.
I got determination. I'm not organized, though.
Oh.
I'm not organized. My sink is... Yeah, anyways. I actually heard somebody talking about this. I was listening to a podcast of Oprah and Julia Roberts.
Yes, I love Oprah. And
yeah, she's amazing. And the Super Soul sessions are so good.
Yes,
and she was
finally.
Talking about...
it's the only one.
That's the only podcast she listens to.
The Bradley Cooper one. Yeah, I would definitely suggest it. But they were talking about being driven versus being drawn towards something. And it was so profound because the guy that she was talking to is an author that wrote a book called the Book of 7,000 Questions or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's more talking about being in tune with himself. And he was somebody that had cancer and, he beat the cancer and then she was asking him like, how did you feel after that? He was like, you know, I was always such a type A driven person. I was driven personality. I wanted to be the best, you know, writer and author and all this. And afterwards I realized I was just drawn to it. And I was like, whoa, like, because if somebody ever asked me, like, you know, like, which the question you just asked me, like, what drew you to sports in the first place? Like, that's just it. Like, I was drawn to sports. Like, I just loved it. Like, even after, like, my dad got hurt, like, I just would go outside and I'd play basketball until it got too dark that I couldn't see, like, my hands. And then I would turn on a spotlight and continue playing. I could be in a batting cage for, like, 4 hours, and the small intricate details of perfecting something that other people, like, haven't perfected or that I haven't perfected yet, like the growth that you see. And because I really think that's what we really enjoy is, like, that growth. Mm-hmm. And in, like, I don't know, just that constant fight. And then when all that work has come together and you get to perform, it's a performance in front of, you know, maybe 10 people, it might be 6,000. Like, you'll know how much work you put into it and how prepared you are. And then you just get to have fun. And, like, you get to interact with a kid in the first row, and you get to make friends with the scores table, and you get to, like, kind of buddy buddy with the ref when you're like, hey man, did you really think that's what happened on that play? And you kind of just have fun with them. And, like, it's, you know, other people might not have that. Like, other people might see it as, like, it's a job, and their parents push them towards it. Like, I just love being in the middle of the spotlight. And I used to feel regret for that and feel like, oh, I'm a bad person because I like the spotlight. And I realized, no, that's just where I shine. That's where I shine bright. And, like, that's where I'm supposed to shine, because it gives other people, like, the permission to shine bright too, like, in whatever their field is.
There's actually an Oprah quote that she talks about in her Super Soul, but she was just saying, like, like, the things you love, like, your job is just the excuse you get to, like, love the world. Like, your job is the excuse you have. Something like that. Like, the things you're drawn to, like, that's just the thing that you use in the world to, like, love it. Something
along those lines. It's like your vehicle to spread. Yeah.
That always sticks with me. Like, when they say, like, do the things you love, and I think it's because when you do the things you love, like, the things around you immediately get, like, uplifted just by you being.
And I think that kind of goes back to feeling connection. Like, when I'm chasing, like, my, like, just what I love doing, what I'm drawn to, I'm so happy that I feel that connection with the world. Like, because I feel like when I was in that room praying and writing in my journal, like, praying that love would come into my life and that I would learn to love myself enough and be proud of myself enough that I could give enough love that my cup would overflow. Like, I didn't have that connection with the world, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't giving out that much love. I wasn't really that present either. When you don't have your own stuff taken care of, you're not really that present in conversations, like with your family, with your friends. Like, they are 5-minute conversations, and, you know, you kind of just check in, you ask how the family is, whatever it is, but, like, there's not that genuine, like, inside jokes and laughter, like, belly, full belly laughter, like, laughing till you're crying, like, you know, like, that genuine connection with the world. And what you're saying, I really do think comes when you're, like, on the right path, and, like, when you're using the vehicle, kind of like what you said, and kind of like what Oprah said.
Shout out to Oprah.
Yeah.
So, but before that, get Oprah on the pod. Hopefully, one of my goals is to talk to Oprah. Be like, Oprah, good. Mentor me. Teach me how, because Maya Angelou was her mentor, and I love Maya Angelou, so that's my connection to Maya Angelou.
Here's a different question. Instead of Oprah mentor me, what if you became so awesome that you gave value to Oprah?
Dude,
that's what I'm saying. I was like, we are like you said, Jeremy, in your email, that these people are just like you and I. We're all the same.
Like, dude, Oprah had it worse than we did.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm like, we can get to where they are.
Oh, absolutely.
So for people that are looking to become athletes, like, what would your advice be? Especially, like, I think there's a lot of pressure to be perfect all the time, like always be at your top performance, and we're human. That's not always going to be it, you know?
If they're not athletes already and mm-hmm. they're, I guess I'm going to reword your question a little bit. Mm-hmm. For people that are already athletes that are kind of looking to take that next step, they really need to look into, people in front of them. They need to do a little work on, like, you know, looking up an NBA offseason and what it really looks like, because it kind of sucks. And you need to do the things. You need to listen to your intuition. And a lot of times your intuition is like that fight against that 7-year-old that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And the 7-year-old mm-hmm. doesn't want to do like the real drills that are going to make you better. And so there was a kid that was in the gym. I like explaining things through stories because it makes it real to you guys too. Mm-hmm. So there was a kid, he was 14 years old, and I was in the gym going through very, very specific game moments, and you have to have an imagination, and you have to be able to like see one specific play, and you have to be able to do it like 1,000 times in a row until you've mastered it. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I would say to athletes, and being able to do it at a game speed so that when you do go into game speed, it feels the same. So anyways, I look over and this kid is walking around with a backpack on, and he is just so cool. And he's probably 15, and like, he's dribbling real casually. Like, he's in his zone, listening to music. Like, he looks like an NBA player when he first walks into the gym. Mm-hmm. And he takes his backpack off and he shoots as calm and perfect form and like slow for like 45 minutes. And I finally walked over to him because I love mentoring people. And I was like, are you going to take a game shot today or what? And I was like, what are you doing here? And he like took his headphones off. And if you're going to mentor people, first off, you better have enough, like, you better be good enough to do it. And I've worked hard enough that I feel comfortable mentoring people. Mm-hmm. But I was like, he was just like, oh man, I'm just working on my form. And I was like, no, I was like, you're not working on your form. Like, you've been doing the same thing for 45 minutes. Like, do you actually want to play basketball? And he's like, yeah, yeah, of course. And I was like, look, man. And this is what I said before. The people in the NBA, they're really fucking cool, aren't they? He's like, yeah. I was like, they're the coolest motherfuckers in the world. But have you ever seen them actually train? And do they ever look like what you look like right now? He's like, well, I don't know. I was like, no. I was like, have you ever watched Giannis train or LeBron James train or Tobias Harris or any of these players train? They never let the ball dribble above their knees. Like, they're dripping in sweat. They're being pushed to their max and then pushed some more. They're going through very, 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 very specific game-like drills. It's like, you want to work on your form? I'll give you a drill to work on your form. And you come in and you're to do it for the first 10 minutes every single time you walk in, and you're not to do anything else until you've done that first 10 minutes. And then you do 10 minutes of ball handling, and you're not to do anything else until you finish that 10 minutes of ball handling. It's, if you want to make it to those like Division I levels too, cause I was a Division I baseball player before I played basketball. I've only played basketball for like 4 years basically. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make it to those levels, you have to have the discipline. And Tim Ferriss, who's probably my favorite mentor and role model in my life, who I will talk to and hang out with over the next few years. He talked about it with Maria Sharapova, and what he sees from the best athletes in the world is the ability to go through the mundane, like over and over and over again. Yeah. Like, it's like they're okay with repetition. Like, she hits the ball against the wall thousands and thousands of times. Like, you have to be able to, you have to have a mind that's super, super, super freaking patient. Like, ridiculously patient to know that you're not going to make improvements in 2 weeks. But if you are consistent and you are capable of going through 300 makes, 300, like 10 minutes of ball handling for in 6 months, like, and pushing yourself like to where you're actually sweating. So you have to be able to push yourself. You have to be able to be consistent, and you really have to be able to go through repetition, the same thing, until you've perfected it before you move on.
I actually want to ask, because me and Paulina are going to speak to a bunch of, how old are they, high schoolers? In a couple of, in a week. Okay. Any advice on how to teach them podcasting?
Because you're going to teach them podcasting?
We're going to do a workshop on podcasting. So we're basically teaching them. How do you teach high school? How do you teach children? Because we've never taught before.
How do we say something substantial? Because you're a mentor.
Yeah, how do we communicate? Yeah, you're like, you've coached these 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. How do you reach them?
Like, how do you reach these kids?
Yeah, how do you reach them? Yeah.
When it comes, this is going to be a large group or a small group?
It's like a classroom filled.
So maybe like 20? 30 people? 20 to 30.
Yeah. Because
One of the things that I think is overlooked a lot is it was almost going to sound cheesy saying this out loud. It's just being real. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
You guys walking in there with like a PowerPoint and this is how to set up. And I know you're obviously not going to do this. But like, this is how to, you know, start a podcast. Like, if I was going to teach somebody how to start a podcast, the first thing I would tell them is, like, you have to have something worth podcasting in your life. Like, you have to give value to somebody else, you know, because value right now in this world, so many young kids are coming up wanting to be influencers and they're taught like, oh, you have to give value. And it's like, you can't give value on something you don't know about.
Like, that's true.
And so many people, like, there's so many podcasts. Like I said, when I was going through the list of podcasts of people that I actually wanted to like interact with, your guys' name stuck out because it seemed real and genuine. And I usually listen to like a little bit and like hear what I want to hear. And if I don't, I just move on. And some of them I listen to and they'd be like, hey, this is the Jimmy and Morning Breakfast Show. And we're just here to add value to your life. Make sure when you get out this morning, you have discipline and that you tell someone you love them. And then on the way, you know, then it's just like, dude, you're just fucking regurgitating all these self-help books. I'm like, I'm just trying to add value. No, you're not, you prick. You're trying to get me to listen to your podcast.
They watch Gary Vee once and then.
Exactly. And but, he's become such a cultural phenomenon. And so dude, I would keep.
I love Gary Vee.
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking stud. But like, you can't want to become a podcaster because Gary Vee's a podcaster. Like you, if you have something that's actually worth the value, and that's why if someone asked me one time, they're like, why did you come into the voice world? I was like, well, I've mentored so many people in my life that I usually do it one-on-one. And like, I love getting to know people one-on-one and then them opening up to me and me being able to go from there. And when it's in a group setting, I tell stories. So kind of like this, this is a group setting. Like, you know, at some point, probably in the thousands, because this will be, there'll be a lot of people that eventually listen to this podcast. So I'm coming at it from a group perspective of stories. Stories are really, really nice because it helps everyone kind of grasp the situation and understand it. And then if I was going to go into 20 and 30, I would kind of suggest I would kind of get the vibe of the room as I was originally talking to them about starting up a podcast and saying stuff like, hey, like, this isn't something that you're just going to be able to come in and start doing. And, you know, you have to find something that is worth talking about, first of all. And second of all, like, it actually does take work. Like,
it does.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Like, you're not just like you're going to start to say things and you're going to have to learn how to be embarrassed, like on your own, like listening to yourself. And then like, oh, shoot, do I really want to keep that part of the audio? Do I want to cut that out? Like there's a lot to it. And Gary Vee has like 900 people editing and posting videos for him at all times. Like, and he's been talking for so long. Like and here's the other thing. Like, I've worked with so many individuals and I've helped so many people that I kind of get a grasp on the patterns of what's kind of going on. And so like, if people want to, you know, help, and let's say they're wanting to help in like the self-help industry, well, you probably should go sit down and read like 40 self-help books, because by about book 12, you realize like, oh, there's a lot of patterns. It's the same thing regurgitated. And then I would do a lot of Q&A. I would do some Q&A at the end.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, what do you guys really want to know?
We're just gonna play this part right here of what you're saying.
That's a whole presentation.
Yeah, just this is Jeremy, one of our guests. This is what you need to know. Actually, yeah. I'm kind of a self-help junkie. I love like reading self-help books, even though I have noticed all that pattern. It's like it's the same thing. That's why I'm like weaning myself off them, because they're kind of the same thing.
Well, one of the things I talk about on my podcast is like, if your goal is to get a listener, I think you're doing it wrong. Because my goal, honestly, is that someone listens to my podcast and 10 minutes in, they're like, fuck, I should be doing that. And they get up and they leave.
Mm. Yeah.
Like your goal can't be monetary. Your goal, because you can feel that. Like when someone's like, oh, I'm trying to give you value. No, you're not. Like you're trying to get a new listener. Like you're going about it the wrong way. And somebody, and like, it's like value is like the new word for like avocado and bacon. Like it's just a new fad word of anyone that wants to be a podcaster. And that's why it took me 17 takes to do a podcast on value. Cause I was like, how in the fuck do I get this across to people that value is not what anyone thinks it is right now?
Yeah.
Like, It was the hardest podcast I've ever done.
I'm in it for the money. This is all for money. And then we transition into the please support us on anchor.fm/voice2cry. This is a plug.
This is like Anchorman, where I'm supposed to be like, and always loading and stay classy.
Yeah. Let me segue into the supporting
support. One of my last questions, because we're almost wrapping it up, but what does masculinity mean to you?
Yeah, this is the last question.
Like I said before, like masculinity means being able to tell somebody something and stand in your own truth. Mm. Whether it's around your friends, whether it's around your family, whether it's around your buddies, if you can't look at them and tell them how awesome they are and stand in it without it being awkward, if you can't look at them and tell them, hey, like I gotta crank out something because I'm on a mission right now and I'm trying to do 50 pushups a day. And if you can't be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I know it seems kind of strange, but this is what I'm doing. And you can't stand in that and be proud of that. So like, honestly, masculinity to me is being absolutely proud of who you are and learning how, when you're telling somebody something, like when I first learned how to tell people I play Yu-Gi-Oh! As a 28-year-old basketball fucking player.
Wait, you play Yu-Gi-Oh! At 28 years old? I thought you meant like childhood.
No, this is right now.
I absolutely love playing Yu-Gi-Oh! It is so much fun. I took fourth in like a local in Vegas like 3 weeks ago.
This is great.
That's dope, dude. And, one of our listeners will love it. But here's the thing.
Our title
but here's
be,
the thing.
I'm a professional basketball player and I love Yu-Gi-Oh! We're going to use clickbait.
Hey, clickbait it all you want because I'm proud of it. And this is what just happened is super important for everyone to know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really think masculinity is if you asked me that question 3 years ago, or if somehow you found out like that I played and you're like, wait, do you play Yu-Gi-Oh? I'd be like, oh, you know, I kind of just... I play cards a little bit, like on the side. Like, what do you mean cards? Oh, you know, just some things. Cause I'm not proud of who I am. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so many people every single person has one thing that's kind of weird about them that they're not proud about. And so guess what? You're literally slapping God in the face. You're slapping yourself in the face. And if your heart skips a beat when you tell a lie, how do you think your heart feels at the end of the day when you're not living in your own truth? Mm. Like and so real masculinity is learning first off like who you are, like what you would do if you had a day all to yourself, like all to yourself, and you could do anything. One of my favorite days that ever happened was I almost made the Phoenix Suns G League team. I was the second to last cut and I didn't know it at the time. And then I went to a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament in Phoenix, Arizona. Like it was the coolest day because I was me all day. Huh. And I went to the gym and I wasn't in the gym acting hard and tough before a tryout. Like I was bouncing around. I was happy. I was listening to headphones. I was listening to Backstreet Boys. Like I love that stuff. And like, you have to learn how to look at your friends. And if they're your real friends, they might give you a little shit for it, but like, they're going to know, oh, that's just Jeremy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And And when you tell someone like what I just told you, when I was like, yeah, I love like how challenging like it is and like how much fun it is to literally interact with 50 people on like a Wednesday night at like 7 PM when I would just be home, like watching Netflix anyways, or like working on something, to go to a tournament and literally 50 people like are there. And like, you have so much fun and they're all really nice. Cause guess what? All the nerds, they got picked on their entire lives. They're super freaking nice people. Mm-hmm. And like, they're so accepting. They don't know who you are, but they're so ridiculously accepting. Like, you know, yeah. And like, I told you, it was like, yeah, I love it. And then I stood in it because that's what it is. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I love being challenged. I love doing podcasting. I love mentoring people. I love playing basketball. I love all of this stuff, but I love it when I'm me. When I'm not, it is horrible. And like, that's when people are off. People are off and people feel depressed and people have all these problems in their lives. And I fully believe this because of expectations from other people and because they're not being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I felt it really that. Is. Well, that was a good
one. And I don't even think that's just masculinity. I'll say that's with women too.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah,
I'll take it one step further. Yeah. Like, it's not just masculinity. It's women who are faking it too. Like, whether it's to impress somebody else on a Tinder profile or whatever it might be. Like,
yeah.
People, like, I only want to send one text because I'm trying not to be too overzealous. True. No, send six.
Triple text, dude. No send one cares six. Anymore. Double text your crush. Triple text your crush. Do it.
Well, it's just like, 100%, but it's like, I'm not triple texting and being like something weird. It's just like, I'm making jokes and I just keep sending messages because the joke's still funny and it's still going on. It's like, I don't really care. Like, I'm not following a set of rules.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah. That's so important to me. That's like I said, that's why I wanted to be on this show the most, is because that is such an important
topic. I mean, you've like given me all like 5 answers to like questions I've had this month. No, I know.
Yeah, that was good. All right.
Me haría feliz, Paulina.
What happened? ¿Qué pasó?
I said, me haría feliz.
Sí, fue un placer hablar contigo. Did you get that, Rem?
No, I don't want to. I'm going to go study Spanish now, just so I know what you guys are saying. Okay. I guess, let's see. I'm going to do our plugs and then I'll let Jeremy plug his podcast and anything else. But thank you for listening to this episode. Please support us on anchor.fm. Wait, actually, no. You could go to bit.ly/supporttheboys with a Z to support the podcast. You could donate 99 cents.
Even though Jeremy said no.
Yeah, even though Jeremy said no, you should still support us on there. Thank you to all our supporters that have already are supporting us. And you could follow our Instagram on @boyswhocrypod and our Twitter, also the same handle. Also on Facebook.
Also, we don't use like the money that people donate. We don't use it like on ourselves. Like, we use it.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't
want to go like this. Episode, the first episode that there's a guest, we actually used the money because he lived in San Jose, so we used it like for gas because we're obviously like broke college students, so none of it goes.
That's super cool.
None of it goes. We're not like out here buying Starbucks or like flexing. We're really just using it for the podcast.
We use it to keep the podcast.
You can't buy Starbucks and be a fan of Gary Vee.
Yeah, you can't, because he says like you're weak or you have no, you don't say you're weak. You're like, you're soft or something.
If you bought a $5 Starbucks coffee this morning, you're complaining. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, I've seen that video, dude. I love Gary Vaynerchuk. I read his like book and everything, but I want to meet him.
But yeah, that's what we use the money on, and like, we don't live in the same city, so a lot of it is just like to travel. It's not really bougie.
So if you really want to support us and continue the podcast, go to bit.ly/supporttheboys. It's in the description. And what's your plug, Jeremy? Where can we find you? Where can we hear more from you?
Yes.
I just want to thank the Academy. And just so happy to be here. You can find me at Always Loading, the Always Loading podcast. A lot of the stuff that I talked about on here, which like I said, is just so awesome for me to do and something that fulfills me, fulfills my cup. Mm-hmm. I talk about on there. I do what's called leverage episodes. So if anyone on here has questions and they are brave enough to go on a call with me, I actually do sometimes do calls live on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Where I answer questions and step by step, like I will be so freaking honest with you. Like sometimes it's going to be, I will ask you questions until I find the pressure point and I'll be like, hey, here it is right in front of you. Then you look at me. It's the funniest part is every time they go, I know. And it's like, yeah, well, this is what you know what you have to do. And it's kind of just bringing it to your attention. So if you do have the bravery to do that, feel free to reach out to me. I usually just work off Instagram. So it's just always _loading or Jeremy_Burright. It's pretty simple to find me.
Okay.
I don't have any Patreons or anything like that set up yet because I'm just out here living my life in basketball. But for now, if you guys want to find me on there, like, it'd be awesome. But honestly, I think you guys are in pretty good hands here as well. So I'm happy for you guys.
Yeah, I need to get my friend Marco to I want him on your podcast because he's been a big guest on this podcast, but I think you guys would really vibe well. Like, you guys would really hit it off.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll send him your way.
Oh yeah, and I do I might have you guys on my show at some point.
Please.
I do the other one I do is called Relatable Role Models. Uh-huh. And it's people that are on their way that haven't made it yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
And it's so people aren't looking at it and be like, oh, it's Will Smith, like he's already made it. No, this isn't a microwave. Like sometimes it's more fun to interview people that are on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe people can relate to a little bit more closely than Oprah.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to be on there. Would love to.
Yeah.
But any parting words? Thank you so. Oh yeah. Any parting words?
Just I think what we talked about at the end, just having the courage to be yourself is really difficult, and a lot of times it comes across as cheesy of be you, but a lot of times be you also has those quirky things, and Gary Vee talks about it too. Like, if you really want to run a podcast, if you really want to have influencers, and like Kevin Hart's not funny because he's funny. Kevin Hart's funny because he tells the truth about his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when you realize that the power comes from your own truths, no matter how embarrassing they are, you realize that like you've been giving power to like the wrong things your entire life, just because your parents did or your friends did or your buddies.
Hmm. Yeah. But thank you so much, Jeremy, for being on. Like, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure. Yeah. Fue un placer. Yeah.
Sí, fue un placer. Especially because you were a trooper through the technical difficulties and everything.
Yeah.
It's probably like 3 a.m. where you're at right now.
Yeah, I know. It's like 3 a.m. there, right?
I haven't looked yet.
But yeah. Thank you so much.
I'm still gonna do my training tomorrow, so nothing changes, so we're all good. It was it really was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Boys Who Cry. We'll see you next time. I love you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Boys Do Cry.
If you would like to support us so we can pay our therapy copay, you can. You can go on Anchor. You can follow this link, bit.ly/supporttheboys.
For as little as 99 cents, you can support the pod. We appreciate you for taking the time to listen to us.
You can also support the podcast by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. Please rate us 5-star, give us a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Facebook. Our Instagram and Twitter is Boys Do Cry Pod. Follow us so we can become influencers and get free stuff.
And we would like to thank Food for Thought, aka Jalen, from Music Collective's So Self-Explanatory and Hopeless Hit Happy. Our theme song is called What's the Purpose?
And remember, Maya Angelou is always right.